bonus for all of you. So good morning, everyone. Thanks for listening to us. There were 12 of us went on the trip. This is the group that's been good enough to come up in here and stand with me and speak. Corey and Eric, if you could stand up or wave your hands. They're the other ones I see in the audience. So we'll go ahead and get started here and tell you about our recent mission trip to the Tree of Life Relief Society in Mission, South Dakota, which is on the Rosebud Reservation. I think we all learned a lot about ourselves and definitely each other and grew in our faith on this trip, and we are all very grateful for the opportunity. So thank you to all of you for the support that made this trip possible. I would encourage anyone who has the opportunity to serve and help others to take that leap and sign up for a trip like this, or stay close to home and serve and help those in need in our community, because, you know, you go there, you see all these things you can do to help people, but then you look around town, you can see that as well. You don't have to travel all the way to South Dakota to be a blessing or help others through service, though the journey and working with others in the group does provide opportunities for growth. The Tree of Life organization where we went has a three-pronged ministry: feeding the hungry in the soup kitchen, clothing the needy through the thrift store, and being an answer to prayer through their construction ministry. A couple members of our group were able to participate in the soup kitchen and the thrift store portions, but our main focus and purpose was the construction ministry. The soup kitchen feeds 185 to 240 meals a day to children, elderly, homeless, and the working poor in a community of 1,200 people. The thrift store provides an opportunity for community members to buy items at a very low cost and have the pride of knowing they have provided for themselves and their families. They don't want to give things away. They want people to be able to go and purchase them so they can take that to their families. The store is stocked by donations from all over the country, and volunteers are needed to sort through the warehouse full of boxes, and they're up to the ceiling in a huge building, because unfortunately some people send what is basically garbage, and a lot of things actually have to be thrown away. The Tree of Life serves an impoverished community with high unemployment and few resources to meet the very real needs of its community members. The lack of resources, just geographically, was very apparent as we focused on our construction efforts. Now, I inherited the planning of this trip from Pastor Jeremiah, and I have never been on a mission trip before. I've planned missions for the Army, a little bit different organization, a little bit different focus, but I had no idea what to expect as we embarked on this adventure, even in the early stages. Now, anyone who has spent any time around me knows I am a planner. To me, a relaxing vacation involves a detailed daily itinerary distributed to every member of the group. The Tree of Life is much more of a go-with-the-flow type of group, which required me to take a huge step outside of my comfort zone. We had no idea what our projects may even be until 3 days before we left, and then the ideas were very broad in scope. Several members of our group were bringing tools for us to use, which, thank goodness, because they said they had things to use and they were pretty limited. But we didn't have much guidance on exactly what was needed. Luckily, Rory had a trailer, so we could bring everything but the bathroom sink, which will make more sense later. But we still found things we really could have used during the week that, unfortunately, you know, we'd be like, oh, that's back in my garage or that's back in my shop. As I realized that things were not going to be as well planned as I'm accustomed to, which frankly made me sick to my stomach, you can ask my husband, I was reminded that this was a journey of faith and thought of one of my favorite Bible verses, particularly for young people as they embark on the adventure that's life, which is Jeremiah 29:11. I alone know the plans I have for you, plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster, plans to bring about the future you hope for. It seemed appropriate, since from my point of view, there was essentially no person that had a real plan. We were, however, very blessed, and I know Tree of Life felt blessed, that we had people with us that had the skills to direct and complete some of their more complicated projects, even with limited supplies. This blessing made it possible to meet the goals set forth by Tree of Life for the week. We had the right mix of people, lots of tools, and no idea how we would be used during the week to come. So with the people and tools packed, some rough details, faith and prayer, we headed out early on Sunday morning to travel just over 600 miles west. We started a little later than we hoped, but otherwise things were going smooth, until about 45 miles outside of Cedar Rapids, when Rory's truck radioed that they had blown a trailer tire. They pulled over and some of us went in reverse on the shoulder, and Holly rearranged some construction cones we found, because of course it was on the driver's side and we didn't want anyone to get hit by a car. And they changed the tire rather quickly, and we quickly realized the other tire was not in good shape either, and the spare wasn't much better. So we also saw that we had lost the fender, and no one could see it on the highway behind us. What we didn't realize until later was, unfortunately, it was the fender with our license plate. If we had realized that at the time, we probably would have checked a little bit harder in the ditches and in the medians, but, you know, we were just happy to be off the road and going again. God was looking out for us because we found a helpful Walmart employee in their tire department, and Rory will go into this more later, but after some finagling, they helped us get the tires we needed on the trailer, which is really hard on a Sunday morning, about 9 o'clock. And then we eventually got our tires changed and had our picnic lunches in the parking lot while we waited. That night, we did grab a sit-down dinner near Fort Randall Dam in South Dakota, where we tried chislik, a South Dakota delicacy that Rory insists is made of muskrat lips. There was nothing else around, and it was really a lot tamer than the biker's welcome sign up there, than that would imply. So we pulled into Mission late that night, and the next morning we got our assignments from Linda, who is the director, and she had waited up till about 11 o'clock the night before to let us into our house for the week. So we got our assignments, and our projects were working on Ed's church, which Steve will tell you about in a minute, and designing a tiny house that lacked electricity, plumbing, walls, basically everything. It essentially was like a barn shed you would put in your yard for storage that had to become a home for three people that would last sitting in a field in South Dakota in the winter. Ed's church is used primarily for AA and drug rehabilitation groups, and they like to have bathrooms with shower facilities since many of the individuals they serve do not have access to facilities for basic hygiene. So providing a place to clean up and change into clean clothes is important. We had some tasks like painting the stairs, finishing a mural on the outside of the church, and then scraping and repainting some of the outdoor. But Steve now is going to tell you more about the main focus of our Edge Church project and our experiences there.
As Aaron said, this is a church that is owned by Tree of Life. They use it primarily for recovery services, and it's an older church in very poor shape. We concentrated on two bathrooms in the basement. They were in pretty poor shape. There was a lot of concrete spalling, lead paint. We relaminated a lot of the walls with drywall, replaced some of the ceilings, and renovated the plumbing. It was a very small space for a lot of people, so it got kind of interesting, and no air conditioning. So, but I think when we left, we ended up with two reasonable bathrooms that worked. So.
And yes, you can fit 5 to 6 people in a small bathroom with no air conditioning. And Steve didn't tell you about the floor he had to lay on for a lot of this, which was spongy and totally rotted out. So, you know, once he got the subfloor in, he felt a little bit better about laying there and trying to fix the sink. But it was a little bit scary at times. Oh, yeah, and my daughter and Lena liked to paint and do the drywalling, and I don't know how, but the day they did the stairs, their backsides were brown from brown paint, and the day they did the walls, their front sides were light tan from the walls, so I think they probably got as much on them as the wall, but it came off. They're clean now, and they're ready to move on. We tried to get them dirty in that picture, but they'd already cleaned up, unfortunately, because it was a fairly impressive sight to see them. Now, we did have some free time. We spent one evening with the lineal chief, Hollow Horn Bear, who shared with us the Lakota creation story and the history of his people. And we found it very interesting, their creation story, how it parallels, you know, what we're familiar with from our Bible. We also enjoyed an evening of dancing with championship powwow dancers. Mike here is a grass dancer, so in the traditional celebrations, they would go first, and their dance would stomp down, they would stomp down the grass for the rest of the dancers and the rest of the activities. His wife was recovering from a traumatic brain injury, so she couldn't dance, but she showed us her jingle dress and kind of explained what she would normally do, but she wasn't cleared yet. Now, he did share his skills and try to teach some members of our group some of the traditional grass dance moves. Mike and Corey were the brave souls to try this one. We all then participated in the circle dance and a couples dance, which fortunately we do not have video of. Notice what made the cuts and what didn't. But apparently it was pretty ugly to watch because Steve was across from me and commented after the couples dance, he feels really bad for my husband if we ever try to Texas two-step or do anything together. So I am not graceful. We also had an off day where we headed to the Black Hills and checked out Waldrug with its free ice water, Mount Rushmore, and the Custer State Park. We took a shortcut off the wildlife loop and encountered prairie dogs and their resident bison herds, and then we stopped for lunch and headed to Sylvan Lake, where most of the kids and Corey jumped from the rocks, and several of us went for a swim. On that previous slide, they're enjoying rabbit and rattlesnake sausages, and the kids are having more of their muskrat lips. So several of us went swimming, and they all jumped off these really large rocks. Rory did enjoy a nap. No, he said he has his sunglasses on, so you can't tell. Then Steve did some light reading and those kinds of things. We were having trouble getting the supplies we needed in Mission because they have two very small lumber yards, which they'll talk about more in a minute. And Linda, the director, had gone to Pier to try and get us the things we needed to finish our projects, but she didn't have much luck there either. So we stopped at Menards in Rapid City. We went to the building supply store multiple times in a day anyway, so why not throw in a stop at the Menards in Rapid City and check that one out? So we got everything we needed to finish our projects there for the day. The goal that Linda had stressed for us through the week was to do our best work and finish our projects, and that wasn't going to happen without those supplies. So we loaded up Rory's truck for the ride home in a very late night. I think we got back about 12:30. And then I have a statement from my daughter about the one other activity they did during the week, which was the game night. She's sick today, so she can't be here. But she said it was fun and interesting, and she got to learn about the ancient games and got to play some of them. They played multiple games, but one of the most interesting and fun was a game where the objective was to knock down a pin with a ball. Some of the other games were you got to try to get a piece of bone to make a noise, and another where you had to hit something like a top with a piece of rope attached to a stick. She said they learned a lot about what they have done in ancient times to pass time. So after the fun, we will have Mike and Jack and Rory talk about the tiny house project where half of our team was for the week.
Good morning. So yeah, the picture on the screen you can see is what we called the tiny house. Rory and Jack and Holly and Eric and Sid, was all out at the tiny house. And our main thing was to convert this little shed, which was literally 30 feet by about 11 foot wide, into something that's livable. It had a couple windows on the front and the front door, and otherwise inside it was all just 2x4 framing, and that was it. I specifically worked on the electrical. We kind of split up into three teams while we were out there. I worked on putting in a main breaker box, pulling wire, installing boxes, lights, ceiling fans, stuff like that. And it was really cool. One of my highlights was actually watching the kids, how they all kind of got along. And I really had them all with me at one point. The people that owned this house, Lisa and her son Cactus, were out there pretty much the whole time. We also had her daughter, Vespa, was going to be living there also. It was just really cool to see how all the kids just really accepted Cactus into our group, and he just became one of us. And they were just, it just worked together really well. The kids were teaching them, teaching Cactus things. Cactus was teaching them things. Cactus was into rodeo and horses and things like that. So this shed was sitting on his grandfather's property, and they have an arena right there. So he was teaching the kids how he was bull riding, and even at the at lunch one day, they saddled up one of the horses, and Cactus then took all the kids out one at a time on the horse and let them ride. So that was pretty cool, just to see them all kind of work together. And I really think they learned a little bit. We got to the point where by the end of the week, we'd get some wire pulled, and I'd hand the guys the tools. Eric and Jack and Cactus primarily, I'd just hand them some tools and say, here you go, get this one ready, and they'd strip the Romex and strip the wire and wire up the outlet, and then I'd of course check everything before we screwed it in the wall, but checked it all out, and they did a really good job. The other things that we did out there at the house was the kids were primarily in charge of doing the insulating. So they were doing measuring, they were measuring the walls, cutting the insulation, stapling stuff up, using the staple guns, and lots and lots and lots of staples. But we got it done. They got it all done. We also built a set of stairs to go up to the lofts with some built-in storage. And then we also measured and cut sheeting in order to sheet the inside interior. And that was really cool to see, to see it all kind of come together finally. And we really would have liked to have had the upstairs done for them also, but we just simply ran out of time, and our new completion goal was just to finish that sheeting so that they had something usable. So a couple other things we did, we ended up installing a couple windows in the back door. Rory took care of doing that for us. And really those, one of the highlights for me was the cultural events. Those were really cool. And especially we got to go to out to a Sundance where there was a guy by the name of Chief Hollow Hornbear. And it was just really neat to listen to the guy and to kind of learn some about their culture and, you know, to talk about the same God, even though that their beliefs are a little bit different, that we're all serving the same Creator. And just to learn how they were really tied in with nature and tied in with the animals around them. Just one example, when we were there, there was a small bird. I don't have any idea what kind it was, but it was a small bird that was flying around, and the chief kept talking to the bird, and, stick around, come be with us, and the bird did. That was pretty neat that as we were sitting there listening to him speak, I mean, there was probably 30 people sitting around there, maybe, total. And as we were sitting there, this bird came and visited each person individually. It was really cool. So it was, and personally, I was sitting there in the grass, wasn't really paying attention, had my arms sitting back, and I felt something on my hand, and it kind of wiggled, moved, and looked. And here's this bird just pecking right at my fingers. I'm like, well, hello. So, but that was really neat. So the other thing that was really a highlight for me was just seeing Lisa's, the owner of the house, to see her pride and to see her appreciation growing every day as the house really started to take shape and started looking like something that she could actually support her kids in. So I think that really meant a lot to her, and we really got to be pretty close to her and the family while we were there, and it was pretty neat. So two of my daughters were able to come with me. They're with their mom this weekend, so I had them write down a couple of thoughts. What Lena said was that my favorite part of the mission trip was painting in the church we worked on, and when Sydney and I became known as the painted ladies. And I learned that there were many types of dance in the Lakota traditions, and also learned about the history of the Lakota people, which I thought that was kind of cool, as Lena's been in dance her whole life, so it really kind of touched her to see all the dances. What Holly told me was that she said, my favorite part of the mission trip was getting to know the people we went with on a more personal level. I also enjoyed riding the horse at the tiny house on lunch break one day. I learned that while working with insulation, to always wear long sleeves. I also learned that the people of the Lakota tribe do not have a word for animal. They instead refer to them as four-legged or two-legged. So that was pretty neat too. So.
So when I was on this mission trip, one of my favorite things was getting to, like, meet the people that were there. Like, the first day we kind of broke the ice. The second day we'd talk a little bit. And the third day we went horseback riding with them, and that was pretty fun. And then we started sharing skills, like how to wire stuff and stuff like that. And then, yeah. And then he showed us how to rope cattle, and, yeah, pretty cool.
God is amazing. Amen. Absolutely. God provided everything for this trip. I mean, and when we needed it, we had it. God provided from day one, when Jeremiah was in charge of everything and we were just trusting him and he was taking care of all of it. And then all of a sudden, he's out of the picture. And Aaron steps up to the plate, and my gosh, she was fantastic. She took care of things like you wouldn't believe. Didn't have to worry about anything. She was throwing texts and emails back and forth and taking care of everything that needed to be done. God was there. Aaron had the talents for doing that, and she stepped up to the plate and took charge. Corey and I were in charge of getting the food together for this trip, and we're like, how much do we need? And we got so many people going for so many days, and how much do we get? So we just started out, we went to the food bank, and wow, what an experience that was. We knew what we needed, and they didn't have everything we needed, so we had to go to Walmart and buy the rest. But we go to food bank, and we say, we're going on this mission trip, and, you know, can we pick up a few things? Well, you know, we thought we could pick up 2 boxes of cereal and 4 cans of tuna and whatever, but now you can't do that. You got to take a whole case. I'm like, we don't need a whole case, you know, but we got cases of this and cases of that, and then they're like, well, we've got all this other free food that you can have all you want. And it's like, we ended up with more free food from the food bank than we paid for. And the cases of fruit, cases of canned tuna, canned vegetables, bread, you name it. And I'm not kidding you, the food that we took out there was enough for, we could have lasted 6 months out there. Oh my goodness. And we were loaded down with food. And at the beginning, we didn't even think about taking a trailer. We thought, oh, we can get all on my truck. Oh my gosh. Katie said, what about a trailer? And we're like, oh, we didn't think about that. So got a friend to loan us a trailer, and he said, you're responsible for any flat tires. I'm like, yeah, right, whatever. So we get a trailer, and my God, the first day we got here and we packed that trailer. I mean, that thing was loaded. I can't believe how much stuff we had, tools, and Steve and I took every tool in our shop. Well, we didn't take every tool in our shop because there was always a tool we needed and we didn't have with us. But so we had a trailer, and we're on our way out there. You saw the picture of the tire. Yeah, it decided to leave us about halfway between Waterloo and Cedar Rapids. And the trailer's acting funny, and I looked in my mirror just in time to see it leave the trailer, and it pull over, get it fixed, right? So we have to go to the nearest town to get new tires. And the nearest town was 40 miles away, Waterloo, so we got there, and I'm praying the whole time that the spare, which was bad shape, made it that far, and it did. So we get to Waterloo, and there's a Walmart, and there's a Farm and Fleet right next to each other. And I'm like, we're going to Farm and Fleet. So we get to Farm and Fleet, and the guy, this is 8, 9 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning. And the guy at Farm and Fleet says, well, I can sell you the tires, he says, but I can't put them on today. He said, we're all booked up. Okay. I said, we'll go to Walmart. So we go to Walmart, and the guy says, well, I can sell you the tires, but I can't put them on. Or no, he says, I can put them on for you, but I don't have the tires. I'm like, I'll be right back. So I go back to Farm and Fleet, buy the tires, take them back to Walmart, get them put on. I mean, God provides what you need when you need it, right? So, fantastic. We get there. Everything, we didn't have what we needed there. It was a little frustrating. They didn't have the materials for the jobs that we had to do. So we had to go pick up materials and get those. The local lumber yards were very minimal. I don't know how they called them lumber yards, but they had a few things, and we got stuff there. And the nearest, mind you, the nearest Menards was in Pierre, which is 93 miles away. And so if we needed anything, we were scratching trying to get it. But God provided what we needed when we needed it. The kids did a fantastic job. They were working every day right alongside of us, and you tell them to do something, they did it, and they were having fun with it. They were fighting over jobs. Let me do that. Let me do that. Let me use that gun. They were a blast. They really were. They were such a blessing to us while we were there. Trailer tire. We first got there. This is amazing. We got there a little late on the first day, and it was dark. What was it, about 8 or 9 o'clock or something? Oh, okay. I'm sleeping. But we pull up in front of the place we're staying, and we start unloading the trailer and carrying everything into the house. And this car pulls up next to us, and it's a family of Native Americans. And they said, do you have any food? We need food. We're hungry. We haven't eaten. Do you have any food? And we're like, yes, we have food, but we're not unpacked yet. We're still unpacking. Oh, we really need food. Do you have anything? We'll take anything. And I'm like, just a minute. So I run inside and tear open all of our cases of food. You know, I know we've got more than enough. So start tearing open cases of food. And here's a couple loaves of bread. Here's a bunch of cans of tuna. Here's cereal. I'd loaded them down with, you know, a bunch of food. And, you know, they think we're going to give them, you know, a little something. Well, we gave them a lot of something. And they were just blown away. And his name was Jay Nohart. And he says, Jay Nohart, that's my name. Remember that. Remember that. And I remember it. He was from Standing Rock, which is, again, probably 2 hours from there. But they were like nomads, and they just drive around, I guess. I don't know. But we gave them food to get them on their way. And if you ever get to Standing Rock, you ask for Jay Nohart. Okay, I'll ask for you. But I didn't go to Standing Rock. But it's amazing that God put us there when those people needed us to be there. And we had what they needed. And another God moment. Everything we needed, we had what we needed when we needed it. We didn't have enough of everything necessarily, but we had enough to keep us busy. Believe me, we stayed busy. And again, the culture was so different. It reminds you that we are all the same people, you know, no matter what. They were a very spiritual people. Very God-driven. They don't call it God. They call it the Spirit Father or whatever, but it's all the same. And it was absolutely a life-changing experience. You saw pictures of the tiny house, and tiny houses are not made for people that are 6'5". The doorways are 6 foot. And I was reminded of that many, many times. And it was a lot of fun and a lot of hard work, a lot of hot days. And I was just blown away by the kids. Really did a fantastic job and never complained. They worked through it, and they didn't even notice the heat, I don't think. But my gosh, it was amazing. I want to thank everybody for your support and giving us the opportunity to be there and do that. It was amazing, and thank you all for everything.
Well, this was a mission trip, and we had some objectives we wanted to accomplish. It's also a tremendous learning experience. There were intercultural events that were scheduled, but the intercultural exchange was on a daily basis. It was with the guy at the hardware store, the lumber yard. We sent our children at the tiny house, the pastor at the church we worked at, and the neighbor that was the caretaker. And I think we all gained a lot from this. And I also would like to thank the congregation for all the support we got on this.
One of the great theologians in the 20th century, whose name was Jürgen Moltmann, he talked a lot about hope, 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 endless hope. He said, the hope for the world is not for all the people, you and me, to have what we want. Maybe some of you want to have a penthouse, some of you want to have a very nice car, or some of you want to have a very nice laptop or some cruise. But that's not the hope for the world, he said. It is for all the people, you and me, to share what we have with the people who are in need. They spent a whole week sharing their time, energy, and their talent, and all they have in the whole week, sharing their love and care for the people who need it.